Well, we've been doing a series on reconciliation and how God has provided for us a way to be reconciled unto Him, back unto Him. How the sin in man alienated man from God. How He provided an atonement in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How His justice, or His judgment, requires justice. The justice requires atonement. The atonement purchased the justification. We saw how the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was in His resurrection that the acquittal, the sentence of acquittal, was pronounced and authorized, authenticated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we saw how God is just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. And it was perfectly legal, because by one man sin entered the world, and by one man, by His righteous act, many were made righteous. And that was the provision, and that was God's justice, and it's justice, and we believe that, so it's by faith in Jesus that we accept that we enter into that. So we went all the way through that. So what do we do now? So what do we do now that we have that reconciliation? That our Lord Jesus Christ once for all was sacrificed for sin, the just for the unjust. Doesn't seem fair, but thank God it is. The just for the unjust. That we may be, it says, that we may be brought back to God. To be brought back to God. So we have that reconciliation. We have it. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we have it. So what do we do with it? So what we're going to look at today is Ephesians 2 and the beauty of that. I think of the pillow upstairs here. It says, my happy place. Our happy place, right? Well, for the Christian, our happy place is with God. Having a relationship with God. Being brought back together with God. Not by our own merit, but by the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we will start with verse 11. Most of us are from the Gentile background, and this really pinpoints those. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Where the Jewish believers, the Jewish people, could call the Gentile people uncircumcised. It was more than just a physical act. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God in the world. Think about that. Strangers from the covenants of promise, because Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, was promised way back into Genesis, the promised seed is promised. And with no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What brought us close to God? The blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He did. The just one for the unjust. For He is our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus Christ took care of the problem of sin so that we were no longer alienated from God, pronounced just, pronounced righteous by God's standard of justice that He provided, and that was the faith in Jesus Christ. Not on our own merit. No man could do it. Jesus Christ was the only one. What does Romans say about the righteous one? That there's none righteous. No, not one. About the time we think we're that. Better take another look. And then it says, has broken down the middle wall between us. In the temple, you had a wall. You had a wall that separated the Jewish people, the house of Israel, from the Gentiles. There was literally a wall that separated. But I want you to think about this. There was a wall separating all men between God and man. And Jesus Christ being our peace, being the one that took care of the hostility between mankind and God. Mankind from Adam on, before Adam sinned, before Adam fell, they call it, before he really rebelled, wanted to be God himself, little God action there. God wasn't God enough for them. They wanted to go beyond that. They wanted to be the ones that could determine what's good and evil. Remember that? And the cost of sin was death. And God plainly stated that, and yet they did it anyway. Jesus Christ knew the cost in his own life for sin would be death too. Think about Jesus Christ in the garden when he was praying. He was praying, and it said that when he was praying, the sweat that came off him was like blood, like drops of blood. This wasn't an easy day for him. And then he finally said, not my will, but thine be done. It also says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame of being crucified as a criminal publicly for everybody to see with the malefactors on each side. For the joy that was set before him, and what was that joy that was set before him? The plan of salvation for God, the redemption of mankind, eternal life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, it talks about Jesus praying to his Father about his people. And he says, to know the one true living God and his Son, whom he sent, that is life everlasting, to know God, to have a relationship with God, and to know his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Whom he sent is, I believe it's apostello. It's like an apostle. It's a messenger. He sent him for that purpose. He had a mission. And he fulfilled that mission. Thank God he did. And as we keep reading here in Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of him in himself of two, one new man, so making peace. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no free man, no bond man, no male, no female in Christ. It's just one new man in Christ Jesus. One new man, so making peace. Peace between the Jews and the Gentiles, yes, but the greater peace is between mankind and God. So that he might reconcile both the Jews and the Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that would be the Gentiles, they were far off, and to them that were nigh. Think about this. Jesus Christ died once for all time and for all people, to reconcile people back unto God. Those that were nigh, those that were closer, and those that were further away. The Jews, what was the prophet in being from the house of Israel? Oh my gosh. You think about it. Unto them they had the word of God spoken to them. They had something that the Gentiles did not have. The oracles of God, the word says. They had that. They had the promises. They had the covenants between God and man. They had that. But they still didn't have a reconciliation unto God because they were still men. They were close, but not completely reconciled with God. Gentiles, most of the Gentiles had no clue that there was a one true God at all. So, it's both were reconciled to God. I think about this. If the Gentiles were in the middle of the lake, and the Jews were, like, say, 100 feet off the dock, which one made it to shore? Neither of them made it to shore. Just Gentiles were a little bit further away. Yeah. Okay. Both were reconciled unto God. Both. Now, verse 18. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Think about that. They were strangers, foreigners, but now we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I want you to think about that. The household of God. We're reconciled to God to the point where we're of the household of God. Think of your household. Everybody's together in your household. Everybody belongs in your household. And that's how God wants all men to belong unto him, to have a relationship with him, to have access unto him. The access that we have is more than just we get to him. It says in God's word that Jesus Christ literally is our entree unto God. Our entree unto God. David, I want you to meet Zeb. This is Zeb. That's entree. That's entree. Where Jesus Christ literally is our entree unto God. Think about that. He's our entree. Our meeting with God is legit. We have someone to bring us to God. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. What's so important about the cornerstone? Today it's a little decorative thing, maybe with the time capsule in it. But in the lands and times of the Bible, a cornerstone was whereby all the measurements were made. If it was to be plumb, it was plumb to the cornerstone. If it was to be level, it was level to the cornerstone. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of salvation. Jesus Christ was the cornerstone. Everything measures off him. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We've been talking about reconciliation back to God. How much more closer to God can you be if there's a habitation of God? It's astounding what God has done in Christ Jesus. It's astounding the sweetness of this gospel. Gospel means good news, and it's good news. It's an invitation for everyone. You see words like whosoever, anyone, whosoever. It's an invitation by God to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally don't want to pay for the wrath of justice. I don't. That scares the bejesus out of, right? About that, you think about your future. I don't want to be payment. I don't want my righteousness to be the merit that I have. Because I just know a little bit about myself. And we all are in the same boat. Because God's wrath is not, it's just a wrath of justice. Because God is just. But you and I, the justice, the standard of justice in which God has provided is through faith in Jesus Christ. You believe in my Son, you're clothed in His righteousness. You believe in my Son, you have access unto me just like Him. What an invitation. I want everybody to have that invitation. I want everybody to have that. You know, I don't want to see people going through the wrath, even if it's a just wrath. I don't want people to go through that. When Jesus Christ, you know, oh, I want my pound of flesh, or I want this. Oh, wait a minute. Is Jesus Christ dying enough? It was enough. What do I need to do to make myself more righteous right now? I can't if I want to. I can't. Neither can you. Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, if we believe in Him, we're clothed in His righteousness. Remember what Paul said, that I may be found in His righteousness, not in mine own. That I may be found in that day where we stand before the judge. In that day, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, because I know what filthy rags my righteousness is as a man. Jesus Christ's righteousness is what I'm clothed in. When God looks at His Son, looks at me, He's looking at His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how I want to be seen. That's how I want to be found. That's how I want everyone that I've ever met in my life to be found that way. And you think about that. Think about being in the household of God. How much more intimate can it be in the household of God? What an invitation. What access we have unto God. What an invitation to have a relationship with our God. I'll tell you what. This morning I was going to be going to the Gospel of Luke and looking at some parables. Maybe we'll do that next week, because there's water out there and there's food in there. But kind of an assignment for next week. Read Luke 15 for next week. Read Luke 15 for next week. And think about how wonderful it is that we have a God who loves us, a God who's given His only begotten Son for us as an invitation to have a relationship with Him. And we get the chance to share that relationship with others, because we just want everybody to be saved from what? The justice, the wrath that God would have. Think about this. Those who reject Jesus Christ want to be judged according to their own merit. And no one, there's none righteous, no, not one. All men have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. So we have the answer. We have the privilege. We have the gift by grace, and it's by grace. No one earned it. No one can. So we have that, and we have reconciliation to God. If anyone tells you that you're not close to God, you can't have a relationship with God because of this, that, or the other thing, it's not true. It's a lie. I'd rather believe him, what he says. Whosoever believeth in his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to close. I want you to think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And the word "so" isn't a degree, it's the manner in which he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. That's the kind of loving Father and God we have. Amen? Amen. Amen.